Thank you, Pastor. There's a loose screw up here. I don't know whether that's prophetic or what. I hope I'm not it. Let me get a good look at you. We got a lot to do in a little time, so get your mind revved up. Look nice, even though you may not feel that way. That's a key. We'll be talking about joy tomorrow night. Supernatural. Did I make you mad? Folks generally give me about half the service before they do that. Okay, so they're going. Yeah, okay, understand. Meet my wife, Frida. Frida is German, and so when she says her name, it sounds like Flita. And I want you to meet friends of mine. This is Brian and Krista Slezak. Raise your hand, and of course, many of you know the other handsome people there. That's Buster and Sandy Reeves. Okay? Now look. If you believe 1/10 of what you just sang, compare it with how you've been doing the last week, you're going to have to pull one of them back to where you are or the other one up to where you ought to be. Okay? And that's the reason I'm here. I suppose that you are here because you want to improve yourself. You want to be better than you are. How many of you want to be better than you are? Well, let me find somebody that doesn't. We'll stop and pray. I want to be better than I am. I want to do more than I've done. I want to know Him better than I know Him now, okay? And so I'm looking forward to this today and tomorrow night in the home. And what we're going to do today is start out with a premise. And we're going to read that premise. And I don't think if you will let this be in the center of your heart and you will acknowledge that it's absolutely true, that when we come to the time of a current commitment between a premise and a commitment, there will be something God will do to change your life. So are we ready? Good, there it is. I want you to read that with me, please. All right. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oop. Fine, you lost your screw there. Now, let's do that again. I really want you to get it in your heart. And let me tell you essentially what it says. You're about praise. You're about declaring the praises of God. You are worth no more to God, yourself, and the world than what your life is declaring about your God. Thought that'd be a good place for an amen, but catch it the next time. You need to get acquainted with me. If I don't hear an amen, I stay on that point. till I feel like at least three of you have it. In fact, I've got a deadline, and I know when I'm going to finish. But generally, when I don't have a deadline, I say, you could shorten this message a whole lot by just saying amen every time you hear something. That might be true. Amen. And that always elicits exactly that. Okay, let's say it again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's 1 Peter 1:9. Now, you're about praise. You're about declaring to the world and to God. 1 Peter 2:9. It is 2:9, excuse me. My wife just... She declares the truth to me often, and so that's a mistake. I put it together this morning. Now, I was challenged by Seth to go back to investigate. I have the book on praise. To investigate how I moved into the centrality of praise. Praise is not a sidelight. Praise is not something you do on Sunday morning so you can get to the good stuff later in preaching. Praise is life at its best. It is the chief exercise of a kingdom citizen to praise the King, to constantly be full of praise to the God of heaven. So what I want to do with you for the next few minutes is to acquaint you with words in the Old Testament, names of God, called covenant names, compound Jehovah names, and I'll tell you why I'm doing it. In 1989, I hit a rough patch of road in my life. I was away in ministry, and I don't think I had a heart attack. I was a little uncertain about that. But I wound up in the hospital after the meeting. The meeting was scheduled to go on and on because God had moved in such a way. But I wound up in the hospital after the first few days of meeting. And they found blocked arteries, and that led to surgery. And the surgery went routinely well, as much as it can be routine when they take your heart out and kill it and fill it full of liquid about 37 degrees. And they said, that's just routine. Well, I don't... I was a little nervous about it. I was however old I was at that time. And the two men, my cardiologist and my surgeon, came in to prep me for surgery. And I said, they said, are you all right? Do you have any problem? I said, the only problem I have is you high school boys operating on me. I mean, they were young. Had complications, almost died. Died really just a pound a day for about 30 days, and developed an infection inside my heart region, and you don't live over that. And I did live, probably you'd already picked that up. I'm seriously scarred but alive, but not limited. I finished, there are four surgeries, really. Three followed the most serious, they said, and then three others. There came upon me, after that, a serious time of depression. How many of you have ever been discouraged? How many of you felt at times that discouragement had reached proportions that could be labeled depression? Okay. I don't pray that some of you get depressed so you can get healed, but it'll help you know how well is when you're sick in your mind and your whole body. I didn't take medications. I don't know that it would have been offered that I requested it. But I, for 3.5 years, had intermittent, what the doctors call clinical depression. Well, I didn't care whether it was clinical, circumstantial, or whatever, it was depression, and I had it. One of the things that characterized it was a waking up in the middle of the night in a panic attack. Had sweated through everything I was had on, and I said, God, I can't stand this. I can't do it. And He hearkened my memory back to the writing of the book and the compound Jehovah names of God. So let me set this up, and then we're going through it rather rapidly. And I feel obligated today, not just to leave you the truth, but to call you to a commitment. If you listen to the Word of God and learn things that are true, or learn things that you know to be true, but you haven't applied them, you have no right to leave here unchanged. Once you hear the Word or get into the habit of hearing it and are not changed, you will become more of a refined Pharisee every time you hear something you do not apply and make your truth. Amen?
Amen.
If you can't say amen, nod. And if you can't nod, just kind of yell. I just wave. And I begin to do the exercise that I'm going to lead you in. I do it now. Some months ago, hit another patch of road. I often hit another, you know, a rough patch of road. Seemed like half my road's been rough. what to do when things or when feelings are threats. And there is nothing I've discovered as valid as what I'm about to share with you. I recommend it. In fact, if you want to improve your life, do it starting today. You will make a better praiser publicly if you will praise in between times. Anybody can stand, watch people praise, and tell whether that's the first time in the week they've done it. And they're mystified, maybe embarrassed, and so on. So I want you to look at this with this in mind, what we've already decided. This was written specifically to the Jews, of course, in dispersion. And they did not have things going well for them. And so Peter reminded them who they were. We are his. All the promises made in Scripture are ours. You've celebrated that in praise today. And so I want this to be very personal for you because it has become again very personal to me. That rough stretch of road early in the year, and I came to say, Lord, what is it? What is wrong? I don't know whether God tells you much about mysteries or questions you ask. Most of the questions I ask are none of my business, so God doesn't bother to answer. And then he tells me something that I sometimes didn't want to know, but what I needed to know. Okay, now, there are many compound names. We're going to cover, I think it's 8. We're going to cover them just quickly. And then I'm going to lay before you a commitment. That will be, as far as I'm concerned, and I'll be safe in saying it in my own mind, I'll be safe in saying that it will be remembered as the best thing that happened in your Christian life, save the beginning of it when you met Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you happen to be here today and you don't know him, get to know him, and this will be your day of starting and starting right. I wasn't talked to about praise when I was born again. All right, let's go to the next, which is praising the names of God. Now, we'll not have time to read the scriptures. The notes of this and a fuller presentation will be available if you desire to make it so, Seth. So the first name we're looking at is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, say it with me, Jehovah Jireh, or the name can be Yireh as you pronounce it in Hebrew. This was the case where Abraham was tested of God, took his son up on the mountain and raised the knife to take his life, make him a sacrifice. And about that time, a dumb old ram who came up the other side of the hill was caught in a thicket, and the angel stopped him. And before he took his son's life, he says, there's the sacrifice. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Say it with me.
Jehovah Jireh.
Or the Lord is the provider. Now keep that in mind. It would be well for you to take notes. You see the scripture there, 22:14 of Genesis. Jehovah Jireh. Now, let me give this overview of all of them. God is who he is. That doesn't change. What he desires of you is for you to know who he is and know that he does what he does because of who he is. And the key is how to so move God in our lives and relate to him that he seems to be able to freely do that. It was C.S. Lewis, an intellectual who was wonderfully saved. And as he was introduced to the Christian life, he heard some talk about praise. He said, what's this about praise? Is God like a Hollywood starlet, or God like some big shot that needs an entourage, people around him giving him adulation all the time? And he was mystified by the subject of praise. And then one day he was awakened to, why, this is wonderful. It is through praise. God doesn't have to be praised. He wants to be, because as he is praised, he is able to release who he is and what he does because of who he is in your life. And I guarantee you that'll excite you. Look at me, I'm an excited. Do I look bored? I'm excited. I get impatient with people that are not excited. I mean, I think you're bad publicity. Well, I'm a Christian. I guess I'd rather be a Christian than happy. Hey, find out who he is. Praise him for who he is. He becomes who he is as you praise him. Okay? Anybody need provision? Anybody run out of something? Doesn't have to be money. You run out of something. You need more than three of you. Okay? I'll pray for the rest of you to wake up. So, what do you call him when you're in such a state? Jehovah Jireh. Say it with me. And I can't take that much time with all of them, so listen faster. Okay? Here we go. The second name is the name Jehovah Rapha. Now, this was used in Exodus 15 when he was talking about none of the diseases that possessed the folks in Egypt would come upon them, for I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha, say it with me, Jehovah Rapha, okay, or Jehovah Rapha. And that simply means healing. How many of you have a disorder of some kind or a recurring pain or something that if it would be certainly all right with you if God just hauled off and touched you and healed you right here today? Raise your hand. All right? Now, he is more likely to do that when you recognize that that's what he does, because he is Jehovah Rapha. So just name that thing. You don't have to name it aloud. Just say, God, you're Jehovah Rapha in my life. I thank you. Some of us need to be healed of mind. I'm losing brain cells all the time. I just ask God to replace two good ones when I lose a bad one, every one. And so I want to get brighter. I don't think you have to lose it when you get old. And so I want to be a sharper thinker. I want to be a sharper thinker than I am now. I want to be alert. I want to be quick. I want to be open to truth. I want to learn. I don't want to get bored, because bored people are boring people. Be anything. Be off the wall. Be excessive, but don't be boring. Turn to your wife or husband and say, don't be boring. That's it. And say in response, I don't think I will be. Not after now. Okay. That is the second one. Say it with me. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Now we'll say all these to God directly before we're through. Okay. Now the third one. Here we go. Jehovah Nissi. Sounds funny. But you see, there is a standard in every tribe of Israel. That standard called people to their identity. For instance, the tribe of Judah. Guess what that meant? It meant praise. That was the tribe that stood in the front of the entrance into the courtyard of the tabernacle. And so that's where we get the word, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Jehovah Nissi says, God is my standard. When the battle heats up, I look to my standard. I'm reminded of who I am. I'm reminded of who he is. Say it again. Jehovah Nissi. Okay? We'll be back over those in a little bit. The next one is Jehovah Makadesh. Sounds kind of Irish, but it's taken from the word Kadesh, holy. And he is the God who makes me holy. That is Leviticus 20, verse 7. How many of you sometimes just wake up feeling everything but holy? How many of you have a fuss with your wife, or fuss at the children, or fuss at somebody? Generally, we get that way, you know. Somebody asked a lady, do you ever wake up grouchy? She said, no, I generally let him sleep. Some people just have a habit of, when there's a lull in conversation, being grouchy. And it's not hard. Any old fly can find a sore. And so just don't do it. And the way to keep from doing it is to be a positive praiser. And so, Jehovah Makadesh, say it with me, Jehovah Makadesh, the God who makes me holy. Folks, he didn't give you as the main goal to be happy. But holiness, righteousness will make you happy. It's the only way to live. If you want to be happy, live right. Think right. Do right. Okay? Let's continue. Jehovah Shalom. Now, that's the one you're familiar with. And that simply means peace. That's a greeting in Israel. A like word, salam, is in the Arab world, peace. Peace. It's a greeting. And people are looking for peace. Did you ever lose your peace? Huh? How many of you maybe lost your peace on the way to church today, or lost your peace when you had to get up and And somebody said, you need to get up and go to church. Somebody did that with a young man and said, you need to go up and go. It's 30 minutes till church time. He said, well, why do I have to go? Finally, his mother said, well, two reasons. One is you're 34 years old. And the other is you're pastor of the church. You need to go. So, peace. I give you peace, a part of the blessing of God, the high priestly blessing, and give you peace. So I give you peace today. And God is Shalom, His name, His covenant name. He gives peace because He is peace. Next name, you're doing good, is Jehovah Rohi or Rohi, and that is Psalm 23. Instead of the Lord is my shepherd, you will find in the original language, it simply says Jehovah Rohi, and that means shepherd. Look at me. Let me ask you a question. Just look at me. How many of you are facing a decision and you really would like to make the right decision? You're at that time. A number of people. Okay, good. Well, let me tell you how to do it. Get with God and call Him who He is, because His business is managing your life. Don't ever make a decision independent of Him who has established Himself as your Father and your Shepherd. Amen? Amen. Thought that's what you meant. Okay, let's continue. Oh, did you say Jehovah Rohi? Okay. And Jehovah Tsidkenu. Weird, sounds like a canoe, but you can remember it. Tsidkenu, Jeremiah 23:6, and a like passage in Jeremiah 33:16, I believe. He is my righteousness. Now, righteousness has to do with justice. Justice has to do with order. It has to do with rightness, right thinking, right acting, and right being. And God is our righteousness. So if you come to a place and you just feel everything but righteous, you've just raised your voice at the wrong time, you've just fussed at your wife or husband, you've just been critical, you've joined the whole world, we have created a critical, non-praising atmosphere in our democracy. We curse our leaders by taking positions against them. And hey, cool it. Republicans are as bad as the Democrats. We have established an adversarial world, and I don't enjoy it. I'm thinking of giving up the whole study of the politicians except to pray for them. I'm going to give that up for Lent. I mean, I'm giving it up. Makes me sick. I have to get over anger. I have to come to God to get forgiveness over anger and frustration. Would you please tell me what you plan to do? Don't curse each other. If you have to sell your commodity by fighting and criticizing the other fellow's commodity, you don't belong in office. Amen. I didn't mean to say that. That was Ed. That wasn't in the notes, okay? Okay, we go one more. And then we're going back over them right quickly. Jehovah Shammah, Ezekiel 48:35. That's the last verse in the book of Ezekiel. The last words. The Lord who is there. Now look at me, let me ask you, confidentially. Are there any times in your life, in your week, when you lose any sense of the presence of God? What do you do? What do? Praise Him. He's there. Well, what if I don't feel He's there? Well, you're not God. Your mind is not God. He doesn't vacate just because you think He isn't there. He says emphatically, I am the God who is always there. So you celebrate and you praise Him until the sense of His presence is overwhelming to you. Now, I want to come to one other thing, and then we're going to review. Okay, let's go to the next one. About 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, I was not good to live with. My wife will say amen to that, and I'd rather she wouldn't. But I was just tough to live with. I was frustrated. I was having bad dreams. I would wake up angry and frustrated. And it took me a couple of hours sometimes to get to to get to where I could face the day. And the Lord reminded me of a verse in the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. 119, 164, this is what the psalmist said. 7 times a day I will praise you because of your righteous laws. And I started doing that again. I'd somewhere just let it fade away. Listen, praising God is a matter of life and death. Your loyalty will die, your enthusiasm will die, your joy will die, unless you have a relationship to God in which He is the praised and you are the praiser. Now let me define praise. Praise is audible, visible, and or vocal adoration of God. That's praise. That's praise. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shouting is audible. Visible is... Now, I realize Baptists have a little difficulty with that. And the reason we have difficulty is we haven't done it. Somebody said, well, why do you do what you do? Well, let's see. I do what I do because I do it. Well, why don't you do this? I don't do that because we don't do that. Well... Now the Bible says, I was interim pastor at a church some years ago. In fact, the book on praise came out of it. I was interim pastor. They asked me to be interim pastor, which means we want some of you for a little while, but not much of you for long. And I took it. It was the largest, it was the church with the largest contingent of seminary students, seminary, that was unintentional, folks. Seminary faculty and seminary administration. Some 1,000 to 1,500 in the church, a large church. And God assigned me the task of preaching on praise. And I never will forget. The crowds came, we had the biggest crowds they'd had in a long time. And we reached a time when I thought it was time to spring this on them and give them justification for just outright doing it. In Psalm, I believe it's 33, it says something like this. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness is better than life. Thus will I bless thee, and I will praise thee, and I will lift up my hands to your name. I never will forget. People begin to look around and say, and most everybody raised their hands. And folks began to weep. Some of them had never raised a hand to God. Now, that's not absolutely necessary. But when you fall in love with somebody like him, you'll do everything in the Bible it says we can do. You'll praise him. Imagine Baptists breaking into dance. It didn't bode Michael well when she stood against David, who danced before the Lord. But David was a praiser. Look it up, okay? All right, say it with me. 7 times a day do I praise you for your righteous laws. How much time do I have, Seth? 10 full minutes? Hallelujah. You'd be surprised how much I can destroy in 10 minutes. I mean, I can tear a lot of things up. Okay. I've sought to share with you through the eyes of one who walked that path of need, of disturbance, of deficiency, of every name and supply God has set himself to be, to report to you that never, ever, ever has God left me in a situation after that situation without being better than I was before I went into it. I do care, but it matters not how tough your situation, if you will turn to Him and praise Him, and in praises allow Him to be to you what in all likelihood He allowed that thing to happen to do in your life, you let Him do. In the kingdom of God, there's not anything that you can really call trouble if you just last long enough, because God will make trouble a new level of opportunity. So I want to challenge you today to praise the Lord 7 times a day. I think I have 3 books. I was at seminary last week and gave away several of them. Wasn't thinking of you and thought I had more. But get the notes. Ask them to do the notes and get that. Think about it. Say it with me. 7 times a day.
7 times a day. I praise you for your righteous laws.
Is everything He commanded right? Noble? Life-giving? Saving? Then He deserves praise, because in that praise, all that He has said becomes alive in you. Stand up with me. I know sometimes the risk is, as we repeat after somebody, well, I just don't feel like it. Now, I'd be a hypocrite if I, hey, it's all right. Just say it because it's true, not because you feel like it. If you wait until you feel like it, you may never praise the Lord. But this is what you do when you don't feel like praising the Lord. You praise the Lord until you feel like praising the Lord, and then praise Him because you feel like it. When you offer the sacrifice of praise with nothing on the ground that you would label worth praising anybody for, then praise Him. Because He's worthy of praise, He deserves praise, He desires it, He demands it, and you are blessed by it. And who wouldn't want to be blessed? And you can start the blessing cycle by blessing Him. Let's say some things together and then go back across these names. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
At all times.
At all times.
His praise will continually be in my mouth.
His praise will continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me. And delivered me from all my fears. Oh, did it injure anybody? Okay, now.
I lift up my hands
to your name. Your loving kindness is better than life. Thus will I bless you, and I will praise you, and I will lift my hands up unto your name. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You are Jehovah Rophe, my healer. You are Jehovah Nissi, my banner of victory. You are Jehovah Mekadesh, the one who makes me holy. You are Jehovah Shalom, the one who gives me peace. You are Jehovah Rohi, God my shepherd. You are Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. You are Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always there. Bow your heads just a minute. Hallelujah. This is what I want you to do. You can do it quietly or loud. It doesn't make any difference. There is one of those that has stuck because that's where you are. Deficiency, you need provision. Sick, you need healing. Sort of set back. You need identity. You need the banner. You lost your peace. You need shalom. You lost a sense of holiness or a desire to be. Mekadesh. Direction, Rohi. Presence, Shammah. Rightness, justice, Tzidkenu. This is what I want you to do. When I say three, I want everybody here to name one of those. And God is going to, in the atmosphere, become what He is to you. Amen? Now, one, two, three. Yes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You that You're waiting to hear from us. And I thank You that because of what is happening right here, right now, You are healing, providing, straightening with justice. You're defeating our enemies. You're giving peace and direction, a sense of Your presence, and all that goes with being God to us. Now I challenge you to begin today saying, I'm going to praise the Lord seven times a day. Lord, start reminding me. Let me set reminders. And I pray across this crowd right now that there will be a quiet determination. I plant the seed right now. And thank You for following through. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.